back on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Paul Dottino, and our new guest is Joe Corey, former NFL agent, is the master of the salary cap in free agency. As we mentioned, really a lot more going on in terms of veterans in free agency right now than it is the draft this early in the combine process. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Any other veterans you think are going to get cut loose in the next couple of days? We already saw, obviously, across town with the Jets and Muhammad Wilkerson. Anybody else you think might be on the chopping block in short order?
One that interests me is Michael Bennett with Seattle, because Cliff Averill is probably done.
Right.
They did an extension for Bennett at the end of the 2016 season, so if they let him go, they're essentially giving him $8.5 million more than he would have gotten if he'd let his contract expire, which would have been right now anyway.
Right.
So can they really lose both defensive ends? So that's one that really intrigues me.
How about Dez Bryant? You know, the Joneses are very loyal to their players, but at the same time, for that cap number, he did not give that team the production they needed last year.
No, he's performing like a high-end number two receiver, and when you sign a deal for $14 million a year, they expect you to catch 80 balls, 1,200 yards, get close to double-digit touchdowns. His big problem is Dak Prescott does not look at him the same way that Tony Romo did. He has to be open, whereas Tony would just throw it and allow him to use his big body to make sure the ball wasn't intercepted.
Drops doesn't help me either, though.
Yeah.
He had some drop issues last year.
And some injury issues.
Yeah.
So he's not worth the $12.5 million in each of the last 2 years. So he may have to take a pay cut to stick around. And if he does stick around, he should become Dak Prescott's best friend. Move in with him if he has to so he can develop better chemistry.
Joel, I'm going to direct it a little closer to home with the Giants. Kevin Abrams, when he was the interim GM at the end of last season, before Dave Gettleman was named, said to everybody, we have enough money under the salary cap to do what we need to get done. We're not crunched. We're not crippled up against it. As you look at the Giant numbers, how do you feel they're positioned to do some things in free agency?
Well, they've got a decent amount of cap room. They're not like one of these teams that's flush over $60 million in cap room. They're also not the Eagles, who have to shed some payroll to be cap compliant. The question is, which offensive linemen are they going to keep? You got Justin Pugh, and you got your center, Richburg. So you got two guys who would be near the top of the market in terms of demand. And last year we saw in free agency that it was good to be an offensive lineman. Linemen in the draft are a little better than last year. But even though you may not have had the best year and have coming off some injury issues, you're still probably going to command a pretty high salary if you're a competent offensive lineman.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you also see things that the Giants could maybe do to create more space if they had to, in your opinion?
Yeah, there are a couple things they can do. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, for one, is in a contract year. So that's one guy where you can pick up, I think, like $6.5 million. You can get over $5 million if you part ways with Brandon Marshall. So that's two right there where you can get cap room.
I want to bring something up to the fans, because I don't think the fans understand this, and I know it's complicated. That's why you're an expert and you're so good at it. What if the Giants went to, hypothetically, I have no idea if they're doing this, but went to a guy like Eli Manning or Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie and said, you know what, we still think you got more juice in that orange. We convert some of your stuff to signing bonus and give you an extra year on the back end of your contract so we can fiddle with the numbers. Is that something you would recommend doing?
Well, sometimes teams will do that, but they'll throw fake years in because they don't want to have the guy under contract in the future. Kansas City did that with Tom Bailey a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Their fake years in Drew Brees' contract. The problem is that when those fake years void, you're going to have dead money under the cap. You're going to lower the cap this year. And with Eli, do you really want to do anything where you're going to mess with his cap number when you're probably going to have his replacement or heir apparent coming in? Do you want to create potentially dead money if you're going to move on from him sooner rather than later? I know he's safe for this year, but next year could be a question mark.
How about the future planning part of this? And I think Giant fans always call in and have these questions. Like, well, you know, John, if you look at the per-year salary, they can sign two big offensive linemen this year and be fine. But if you look ahead, Odell Beckham's, you know, fifth-year option is going to be up. He's going to be a free agent. Landon Collins is going to be a free agent. And those two guys are literally at the top of their position groups. How much do teams plan years ahead for situations like this? And how do you think the Giants are going to try to manage those two guys coming up with what they're going to try to do to help their team now in free agency this year?
Typically, teams look in three-year snapshots. So they're looking a couple years down the road as well, what they can do, who may be there, who may not, who we can get cap room from, who we're going to extend. You can probably get some cap room this year if you do the deal with Beckham. His option's about $8.5 million. The problem is he, at least last summer, had no clue how the NFL salary structure worked. I want to be the highest paid player in the league. Not happening. He's not going to reset the pay scale, do something unchartered. You haven't had a wide receiver that has been the highest paid player in the salary cap era. It just hasn't happened. You have had a receiver or two be the highest paid non-quarterback. That's probably the best he can do. You had Larry Fitzgerald, highest paid non-quarterback in 11. You had Calvin Johnson, who took it from Larry Fitzgerald and held it till J.J. Watt's deal. But that market is going to hit over $20 million per year because you're going to have two defensive players do that, Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack. His best bet to get that type of money or close to it is let them go first. I know he's been kind of impatient, wants a deal yesterday. Let them do the heavy lifting, raise the bar, and try to come in under them. His problem is, as productive as he's been, he's coming off an injury-plagued year. So that's never the time when you want to do a contract, but it's only going to be held against him so much, if at all, because of how great he's been.
I want to build off of that, if I can, excuse me, Joel, sure. Because I think it's a relevant point. You talk about over the next 2 years, Beckham and Collins may be coming up for big-time contracts, but they're also talking there's a possible uncapped year that could be coming up soon, too. How do you think that fits into the equation?
No, there's no uncapped year in this CBA. It's every year's cap. The last one had an uncapped year. It just runs out in 2020, and we don't know what's going to happen after 2020.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. So that's 2 years, well, 3 years from now, 2021.
I'm assuming there's a work stoppage. I'm just counting on one.
Gee, thanks. You just brought out the sunshine in the building. But, I mean, that's got to be something that these owners, if they're going to sign long-term, big-time contracts for these guys, 2021 has to be in their heads.
Yeah, I might want to front-load it now if I can, because I don't know what's going to happen in the future and what the new collective bargaining agreement is going to have in it. But you got to assume the players are going to try to get some claw back because – the owners really beat them up this last round. So that's why I think there'll be a work stoppage. I think that they're going to probably be a little more resolute than they were last time around.
Now, in terms of the future planning, you talked about Odell, how he might handle a situation. A, what do you think of Landon Collins, and more specifically the safety market? What is that like? And then number two, how are the Giants going to be limited this year, you think, in what they do to have the funds necessary to do what they need to do for those two players down the road?
Well, if you do Collins, his cap number's got to go up because he's a second-round pick. I'm sure he's looking at what happened last year. You had Rashad Jones, Miami, Cam Chancellor, Seattle. Those guys, $12 million per year, over $30 million, $35 million guarantees. Granted, Landon Collins did not have the year in 2017 it had in 2016. He's still probably the best young strong safety. So he's going to be right up there. He may think I should get more than Eric Berry, which is $13 million a year, $40 million guarantees. And it may be in his best interest to see if Earl Thomas generally raises the safety bar if he gets a new deal. He's in a contract year. And I know he's going to want more than Eric Berry because he was the highest paid safety when he signed his deal in 2014. So one thing you're not going to do on a go-forward basis is I can't imagine they're picking up Eric Flowers' option. It's probably going to be about $13 million since he was a top-10 pick. Mm-hmm. That's one you pass on. And if he plays well this season and you have to do an extension, you do one. But I wouldn't put a $13 million or $12.5 million option on Eric Flowers based on what we've seen so far.
So realistically then, this year, do you think the Giants could figure it out cap-wise and, you know, finagling contracts, how the money is spread out, to bring in two big offensive linemen in free agency? Or do you think one big guy and then maybe a third or a fourth-tier guy in addition? What do you think is realistic for Giant fans to expect?
Realistically, one, but there are ways to do two. If you want to go the Ndamukong Suh contract Miami structure route, low first-year cap number, ballooning second-year cap number where you're going to have to probably restructure and then kick the can down the road. But you could get in the Andrew Norwell sweepstakes. That's probably going to have to be making him the highest paid guard. Last 2 years in free agency, you've had guards hit the open market, Kelechi Osemele and Kevin Zeitler, become the highest paid player at the position. So I don't expect anything less from Andrew Norwell. Nate Solder is really the only legitimate left tackle out there. Mm-hmm. And if Russell Okung can become the highest paid offensive lineman by average yearly salary, why can't Nate Solder?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And quite frankly, I'm going to throw another name at you who's often named in the same sentence as Soldier, and that's Justin Pugh, who plays four positions but has had some injury troubles. What do you think the competition and the market's going to be if the Giants are going to try to retain him?
Well, you got to go at least $10 million per year. You're going to have to go that Joel Bitonio range. That was a guy that was coming off injuries in Cleveland, signed an extension around the same time that they paid Zeitler, made him the highest paid guard. Mm-hmm. I think Pugh's best position is guard. The tackle stuff, the versatility is great, but you really probably don't want him playing outside. You want him in at guard because he's an upper echelon guard, and upper echelon guards are now $10 million per year. Last year you saw guys like Larry Warford, Ron Leary, who aren't quite the player that he is, get 8.5, 9, so you're probably going to be double digits for him.
With those numbers, could they afford to sign a Norwell and retain Pugh?
It's possible, but you may have to go smaller first-year cap number to do it.
Yeah. How much is Pugh's agent going to be running around telling teams that, oh, yeah, he can start a right tackle for
you? Oh, yeah, he's going to say he's going to say the versatility should get a premium, that he can be your right tackle. He may even go on a stretch and say, you could play him at left tackle. I don't think that's advisable.
And he could play quarterback.
And by the way, one guy I know Paul likes is another offensive lineman from the Patriots, Cameron Fleming, right,
yes,
Paul?
Yes, I do.
What do you think the market's going to be like for him?
Oh, he's underrated to me. I don't know why.
And he's only like 25.
Yeah, I don't know why Ladian Waddle was ahead of him on the depth chart. But he did a pretty good job in the playoffs once Cannon was out and Waddle was hurt. I think you're going to at least see him in the Mike Remmers range because I didn't think Mike Remmers was very good. Mike Remmers got $6 million per year.
Yeah.
And what I saw that last year in Carolina, I'm like, really? And then I remember the Super Bowl with Von Miller. I'm like, hey, Von Miller became MVP and made a lot of money off of you. So I think you're going to have some teams which are interested in Cam Fleming, like maybe a Houston because the connection with the Patriots up there. And they need offensive linemen the worst way down in Texas.
And see, I don't want to help Belichick because he doesn't need it. But he should let Soldier walk for the big money he wants and retain Fleming at that decent rate.
But can you play him at left tackle? I know he's played some in the past, but
I'd take a shot at it. I think the economics make it doable.
Oh, it's much cheaper because you got a right tackle Cannon making like $6.5 million, and
they got Garcia too, who basically redshirted last
year. Yep, that's true. That's true.
Joe, final question. We should talk about the quarterback position because you never have this quarterback market in free agency like you have this year. Kirk Cousins, I know Drew Brees is technically a free agent. No one expects him to leave. Case Keenum. These teams that are in the market, how much is contract structure going to be important? You know, the Jets can probably throw $60 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins in the first 2 years. The Vikings probably can't be quite as aggressive in when they go after him. How do you think that market's going to play out?
Oh, structure is everything in NFL contracts because they're not worth the paper. They're printed on since they're not fully guaranteed.
Yep.
I know Cousins' agent, Mike McCartney, sharp guy. He's going to be looking at structure more than anything else. So I'm curious to see if my hypothesis is right.
What's your hypothesis?
That if you have a good, not great quarterback in his prime that's healthy, hit the open market, he's going to reshape the market. And I've been saying for over a year, if Cousins is unrestricted, he could potentially be the first $30 million per year guy, $100 million guarantees, and at least 65 fully guaranteed at signing.
Can the Vikings, with their cap situation, afford that? Because I think if Cousins wants to win,
that's his best bet. That's his best bet. That's a ready-made team. They're going to have like $50, $55 million cap room.
But they have a lot of young guys coming up too, right?
Yeah, but there's some of those guys who already have huge cap numbers,
okay,
like on a fifth-year option. So you could get cap room from Anthony Barr if you did him. They've got the cap room to bring Cousins in if they want to do it. Rob Brzezinski, really sharp guy, but he's been structuring contracts which are pretty team-friendly as opposed to what Cousins may want, because like the Linval Joseph and Evanson Griffin deals, I'm like, wow, you can get out of those with like no adverse cap consequences.
Wow.
If those guys don't continue to play at a high level.
A couple seconds here. We still have?
Yeah, last one.
All right, very simple. I forgot my question.
All right, so I'm just going to say goodbye.
No, I know what it is. We've been asking people, Joel. We've been asking people who the Giants are going to pick at number two. I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to ask you which outside free agent is most likely to land in Big Blue.
That's an interesting one.
See, that's why it took me time to reconstruct it.
Well, you really need a running back, but it's not a great running back year.
How about offensive lineman?
Yeah, well, you need – multiple offensive linemen. I'm going to say because of Dave Gettleman having the Carolina connection, Andrew Norwell.
Okay.
I think that'll make Giant
Graham,
fans
or Graham happy. Gano if they don't franchise him. Yeah.
By the way, do you think there's a chance they might franchise Norwell?
No, not for $14 million because it's all left tackle numbers. There's no distinction between the three positions.
Which makes no sense.
I know it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make
None.
Any sense.
Transition tag maybe? Or you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. They may put a tag on a kicker for $5 million Gano.
Yeah, I saw that report.
I don't know if I'd do that.
Joel, great stuff. We appreciate it, my
right,
friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joel.
Corey, former Bulls agent, does a great job.